Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino, and I am here with Dane Connolly. Before joining us 4 years ago, he learned the importance of hard work from his grandparents who lived through the Great Depression and World War II. Dane used that mindset to start numerous successful businesses and shared with me that he's excited to share his stories, his successes, and most of all, his failures with the Jake and Gino community. Welcome to the show, Mr. Dane Connolly, brother. How are we doing?
Good, Gino. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime I can sit down and chop it up with you, it's a good day.
Well, I mean, we should have just hit the record button. We were talking for like 25 or 30 minutes about our pain points, about you having this mental spiral, about me getting all fired up. And listen, where are you right now? Let the listeners know where you're sitting right now recording this podcast.
Yeah, so I am literally, I don't know if it's going to be videotaped or not, but I am literally in one of my renovation homes that I'm doing right now. I've got three renos going, and this one I actually, because it was winter time, there wasn't a rush of, I need to get this turned and burned in 2 months or 3 months and out on the market. I'm actually doing this myself with my oldest son, Cooper, who I introduced you to once, Gino, and you actually sent him a book and personalized it. And again, thank you again for that. But it was Wheelbarrow Profits that you sent him. He dove into that. He has read it twice now, and he's very similar to you and I. I don't know, 60% done with this reno, and he's already thinking, I can't wait to get my own duplex so I can house hack and this and that. And so it's been stuff. If I don't make a penny or a dollar on this house, just having spent the time with him and teaching him, and you know this, you got to learn kids, man. Once they hit 13, 14, 15, especially 16, once they get their driver's licenses, They don't want to hang out with you anymore. So.
Hasta la vista. But let me ask you, this is an important question for me because you're in healthcare. We can talk about you selling the business, but what was it in multifamily that attracted you to the space of multifamily?
Well, you know, I'm an entrepreneur by nature, and I always loved real estate as a kid. I remember getting the Sunday papers back home where I grew up, and there was one section where every Sunday – there was like an architect who would put a new blueprint on, and I would obviously go to the sports section first, but then I would go to that and find whatever that new house was, and what did I like, what did I not like. And I always told my parents, I was probably 7, 8 years old then, that I want to build homes, I want to be an architect, I want to do something along those lines. And I'm a physical therapist, or was a physical therapist by trade. And I loved that. But in the back of my mind, I was always looking at real estate, and I didn't know what multifamily was. I kept looking at, you know, little condos, you know, one and two unit condos. And it didn't make sense from a scale and risk, you know, side for me. And so I just couldn't figure it out. And my brother Jared, who's my business partner with Aspen Residential or Aspen Realty Group, said, well, what about multifamily? And I said, well, what is that? And then we looked into it. He sent me your book. And 4 or 5 years later, we're here. Jared and I have 168 units in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, going through the ups and the downs with that, on taking on that many units that quickly and getting them stabilized. But yeah, that's why, like, I love real estate. I do not have a problem taking a career chance or a risk. I try to surround myself with people like you and my brother that are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, so that, you know, you guys are my parachute. If I want to do something, I bounce it off of you, off of Jared, off of other people that are a lot more intelligent than me. And then, life's short, man. And that's what I'm learning too. I'm getting ready to hit the 50. I'll be 50 in a few months. And so, you know, I would rather make a mistake and, I guess I would rather take a chance and make a mistake than in 40 years when I'm laying on my deathbed, say, man, I really wish I would have done X or done Y. And so
let's go back.
I'm in now.
Let's go back to when you started your career. How would your life, this is just you thinking out loud now, if you had gone into real estate and not into healthcare, how would things look differently for you today?
That's a great question. I think I would probably already, so my hat is St. John. That's my mantra. In 5 years, I'll be in St. John during the winter. I think I would be there by now, for sure. Maybe I'd be doing real estate in St. John, the Virgin Islands. But I think I would be further ahead financially. But you don't know what you don't know. Back then, I didn't have a Jake and Gino to fall back on. I didn't have any guidance at all. I would not have had any guidance. I think I probably would have figured it out, but there would have been a lot of scar tissue and mistakes made with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've had this talk with my oldest son, Cooper, who is doing this reno with me. I'm like, hey, dude, he's a freshman in college. And I know the way he thinks, too. He's kind of on the fence, like, oh, boy. I've told him multiple times, like, I think if you jumped in with my help and some guidance, and that you could probably be a millionaire in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that opens his eyes, you know. Yeah. So
I think, Jared, Dan, I'm sorry. The most important thing that we can tell our children is just to do something that you like. I'm sure you like the healthcare industry. I mean, yeah. Doing what you're doing with your son is great. He may gravitate towards that because he may make that connection of like real estate, dad working together, making money, and seeing that, hey, he's already thinking towards the future. What made you sell the healthcare business?
I was beat up, dude. It was always something. So I don't think I would have probably gone right into real estate because I always wanted to be a physical therapist. I wanted to be a physical therapist for the Cleveland Indians. I wanted to own my own clinic. I wanted to, you know, be in that top 1% of earners. And I did all of that. And so that's why I'm saying life is short. So I checked those things off. But after 20, 25 years of being in healthcare, all the regulations that beat you up, and you can't fall asleep at night because if you have one, we had an incredible team. If you have one incredible team member who makes a mistake on a billing thing and fraudulently bills, even on accident, that could be it, you know? So that was concerning, and we couldn't control how much money we made. We were in the top 5% of all home care agencies in the nation, which was a big, big deal for a little mom and pop shop of 50 employees. But yet our revenues were cut, I think it was 52% over 4 years.
Wow.
So like, I hate that there was no control. And I was telling somebody yesterday, at the end of the third quarter of every year, I would just, the gray hairs in my beard are probably from third quarter of the last 8 years, because we would find out how much Medicare was cutting our reimbursement again. And I've got 50 team members who are all like family. We go to movies together. We go and have a couple drinks, happy hours, you name it. How am I going to keep them employed? I don't want to fire anybody. And so how do we make this work? And it was just bleeding you dry. Whereas in real estate, for instance, for this flip that I'm doing, if I lose $20,000 on it, you know, shame on me. It's because I didn't think it out properly. I can control this. I can control the rents and the multifamily investments. And that is a nice peace of mind to know that, you know, sink or swim, it's on me. And well, I guess swim, it's on me. Sink, it's on Jared.
So listen, you're in healthcare. And you're every third quarter, you're struggling.
Yeah.
When you joined Jake and Gino, what is it that you got from the community? Because you guys did scale up rather quickly. Yeah. And for people not having a lot of experience in real estate, what was it that you were looking for? What did you gain from the community?
we wanted, because my brother is, Jared is a physician, so us both being in medicine, it's high blood pressure is 130 over 90. There's, you know, your glucose levels shouldn't go above X. Everything is, there are metrics for everything and standards, and it's based on research, most of it. And so the opportunity, that's why we loved Wheelbarrow Profits, was like, oh my gosh, I mean, you owned a restaurant, you know, like, that book to me was the perfect recipe. Now, you could be a terrible chef and screw it up, but you gave the ingredients there on how to minimize risk and how to maximize profits. That was very insightful for us. But then to have a whole family of people that you know, and God bless you, there are times I'll text you out of nowhere with a question about whole life insurance or property management groups or whatever, and you get right back to me. And having a family, the Jake and Gino group, multitude, thousands of people that we could reach out to, that was intriguing. But also just to have even more metrics, more consistent norms. This is what you should look for, you know, average profit per unit or what have you. That's where, again, we needed that additional background and standards, metrics for us, as well as, you know, thousands of like-minded people that we could potentially invest with. Mm-hmm. Or just to pick up the phone and call somebody, hey, I know you've done A-class before or mobile homes before. Tell me about that, because I'm considering that. It's been great. And that's why we jumped. Yeah.
Dane, this question is for the entrepreneurs out there. When you went to sell your business, you talked about the struggles afterwards. It's all margaritas and the beach afterwards. Yeah. But give a little cautionary tale out there. And, you know, somebody may be thinking of selling their business or even selling a multifamily and cashing out. And that's like the pinnacle of success. And you may think that's successful, but why don't you give them, you know, your story, what happened to you when you sold?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a planner. We had been considering selling for a couple of years. Long story short, we got a great offer from a great company, made it very simple. In part of that planning process, I had read two or three books from other entrepreneurs who had sold their businesses and really struggled, because you go from getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at midnight or whatever it takes, working 1,000 hours a week and going 1,000 miles an hour, to then the brakes have hit and there's nothing. And so I was prepared for that. I thought I was prepared for that. We sold in April, and like I told you, that first week was really cool. I actually slept until like 7 o'clock. Got to hang out on the couch with my dogs. I told my wife, I said, just because I can, I want to have a beer at noon on Tuesday. And I don't drink that much, but, you know, what the hell, because I can. So I did that. And after that week, I thought, oh boy, you know, what now? We had the multifamily, but we've got property managers. And I was used to going and going and going. And I felt like I'd been thrown out of a car going, you know, 100 miles an hour. And I struggled really bad. You know, I don't mind talking about it at all. You know, I had to actually go into counseling. The depression was real. And what I found out from me, or from the counselor for me, is people that are creative, that are an entrepreneur, they need to be creative. You know, you don't retire and stop being who you are. And so I said, okay, I tried a couple projects around the house and I felt much better. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I've always wanted to do flips. And I know it's not multifamily right now, but, you know, I said, damn it, I'm quote unquote retired. I'm going to do what I want. And so I did. And again, life is short, dude. Like, I checked that box off. If I don't do any more flips, then I did it. I tried it and I've been successful. But what I found is, you know, this house here, I'm actually doing with my oldest son. I've got a general contractor that does the other ones. We've got three others going right now. I love this. And I'm swinging hammers and my knees are all beat up and I've got a cut on my finger that was bleeding. But, you know, this is who I am and it enables me to be creative and be active. And this is my cash flow. You know, so the way I thought about it was the sale of the medical practice was my retirement money, so to speak. And this money that I'm making here is my cash flow. I'll have three in college here very soon. So I need to do more and more of those. And it was something like I'm learning too. Like, yeah, I'd finished basements, in the past, but that had been 15 or 20 years. I'm learning, how to live again. That's the big thing is I'm learning to live a normal life. Like you and I talked about, on Sundays, I can go and watch a Cleveland Browns game with my best friend of 25 years here in town and have a couple of beers. But I could never do that before because I was always working. And so it's been a massive life change. Anybody who's considering selling their portfolio or whatever, if you are a high-strung ADD creative, just keep that in mind to always have a backup plan, you know. And luckily I did, but I still couldn't believe the massive adjustment that it was. And it gives you time too to think about other things that have happened in your life, positive or negatively. And it was just a massive change. And I'm like I told you earlier, like literally just about 2 months ago, it was like somebody took the pressure valve off of the stovetop. It just hit me, and I looked at my wife. I go, "Oh, okay, I feel so much better." It took me 6 months to decompress. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's been good. Been good.
Let me ask you about your portfolio. As far as share with the listeners some of the mistakes that you've made from the first transaction to the second one and to just the overall portfolio, because we do teach buy right, manage right, finance right. You did buy these assets properly. They're financed properly. And there may be some issues with that as far as managing them as well. But overall, like give a listener on here who's considering it or who's running through the portfolio, what are some of the mistakes that you made?
Yeah, I think we bought right. I know we financed right because everything's at 2 to 3%. Which is a blessing. And so I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and this market is bananas now. We used to be able to buy, we're in C-class affordable housing. It's kind of our vision, something we wanted to specialize in. We used to be able to buy units for $45,000 to $50,000 a door. And like I told you earlier, now it's $85,000 to $100,000 a door. Great for us, for our current portfolio, really hard to grow in. So yeah, I think we bought right, we financed right. Our burden has been on the management side. And it's just really hard to find property managers for affordable housing that are professional and can handle handle our portfolio. So we started off with 20 units that we enjoyed. We had a mom and pop shop property management group, and that was perfect for them, 20 units. Because of the market, I think it was about a year, we sold those and doubled our investment. I think we bought them for 1.1, sold them for 2.2. Mm-hmm. So made a nice chunk of change there. And then just 1099, or I'm sorry, We
1031. Yeah, 1031. You're like,
we 1031 that into our current portfolio. And we asked that mom and pop shop, look, we're going to go from 20 units to 100 and almost 170. Can you grow with us? And they reassured us that they could. They couldn't. What we found out was we were in a world of hurt. Even though we are active owners, there were things that were hidden from us. There were delinquencies that weren't collected. Our vacancy started to escalate. It was too big for them. Mm-hmm. It was simple as that. So we transitioned to a different property management group who was better. But now it's time, I think, to go to the big leagues. We went from rookie ball to double A. Now it's time to be an all-star. Just to bring out a group that's a little more professional, can provide budgets, can hold our hands, so we don't have to be so active. You know, I'm down here at the properties all the time, and that's not what I wanted to do. Yeah, I don't mind spending 3 to 5 to 10 hours a week on calls, you know, if need be, with the property management group. But we've handed them our expectations for unit turns, for, you know, that we've borrowed from you guys. And it's hard. It's better than it was. And now we're looking at other property management groups right now, and we're really excited about the group that we're leaning towards.
Dane, utilizing. What I wanted to just jump in for a second, and I want to put this into the listener's mind. And Dane is saying that the market is crazy now. It's 85 a door, and I agree with him. But anybody listening to this call right now, you can say, I'm going to wait till things cool down. But if I had to ask everybody, would you have gotten into real estate 5 years ago today? Right. Most everyone on this call would say absolutely. So if you're saying prices are expensive now, give it 5 years from now, rents are going to be $1,300, $1,400, and 85 a door will probably be 120 a door. And I'm not saying that there are deals out there, but if you do buy these assets properly and you do finance them properly and you can get some type of management going for the long term, this is not get rich quick. But hey, for me, 3 to 5 years, I mean, when I can double, triple, quadruple my net worth, that to me is really fast. I don't know about you, but to me, it's fast. And I just want to mention that to people. Don't get stuck in the moment or in the year or whatever, because these asset prices are going to continue to rise, because when you print trillions of dollars, there's inflation. It's an asset that is a basic human need, right? And the replacement values on these things, to build one of these assets, is probably going to cost you $200,000 a unit, and you're still buying it at $80,000. So there's a lot of benefits. So for everybody telling me that their market is crazy, join the club. Every market is crazy, especially if you want people to be in that market. And if it's not crazy, be careful. That means jobs are probably being lost. That probably, you know, there probably is a lot more supply than demand. It's people don't want to live there. So just be aware of that. I just want to mention that, because I always hear that, well, my market's crazy. Well, guess what? Your market's crazy. It's going to be crazy 3 years from now, because whatever the prices are now, if you can make the price work now with the debt, you're going to be happy 3 to 5 years from now.
Yeah. And I we've still looked at growing, but I think right now it would be premature until we really, really, really have a good property management group. So I just want to be more efficient with what we have. And again, I need to learn to be patient, because my goal was to have 500 units by the end of this year. Pump the brakes. Let's become efficient with what our 168 units that we're dealing with right now, and then grow. I agree with you completely. I was telling my brother, who lives in Boulder, that when he first moved out there, things weren't as insane as they are now. In this way, in my opinion, I think Columbus is going. Columbus, Midwestern town, 20th largest city in the nation. Well, we're already 13th largest city in the nation. And growing, they're going to be another million plus people added to that population within the next, I think, 5 to 10 years. Wow. So it's kind of like that, or like Austin, Texas. I think it's kind of that mega growth mode. So no, I agree with you. If I had to pay 85 a door to buy something that made sense, I would do it for sure. But we need to get our current portfolio running up just a little bit more efficiently. And I think if we connect again in June, July, we'll be in growth mode again, hopefully.
It's important. You mentioned something that is not sexy to talk about, because everyone's always like 10X, 10X, you got to grow. And for me, be careful of outgrowing your infrastructure in any business. You know, numbers are great. I mean, I would challenge Dane and say, why 500 units? Now, looking back at that, we're all taught to make these astronomical goals. And when we don't hit them, we're like, oh, we're losers. We didn't get the 500 units. I would rather have 180 units that are performing really efficiently, understanding the business, so then I can take the next step forward. And this is in any business. If you're in the restaurant business and you have one restaurant, you're doing really good, understanding how to get to two is really important. 2 to 4 is important. Don't go from 2 to 16, because you see what happens to a lot of the organizations out there. You really need to have your systems dialed in. You really need to know what the vision is. You need to know, have some type of culture in the organization as well. And you need to be a leader. You need to really, I don't want to say inspire or motivate, but I think you do. Because, okay, we're getting 500 units, 600 units. Well, Dane, why are we doing that? Oh, it's just, we got to grow. We got to make more cash flow. Well, that's not how you're wired. You're wired more for impact and more for purpose and more for guidance and direction and for having fun. Maybe 500 units is not the answer for you. Maybe 300 units is at $200 profit per unit. That's 60 grand a month in cash flow. You whack it up, you and your brother, 30 G's a month each. That's not bad. That's pretty good for spending money in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. And you said that to me, I think it was over Christmas. It was maybe like last year. And you said, why 500 units? And, you know, me being me type, you know, A personality, you only live once. Like, hey, well, that was the goal I had. But Dane, if you're miserable, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, I don't have to. Oh, I don't have to hit that this year. Okay, it's okay to miss that goal because adding 500 to 170 that aren't as efficient as they should be just makes a little mess a complete mess. So, you know, I'm glad that you said that because it kind of woke me up out of my, that grind mindset of like, oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm still going to be able to eat. I'm still going to be able to pay bills, but maybe I wouldn't be if we jumped to 500 right away.
Well, let me make another point right now. I don't know if you'd be flipping a home with your son, which is something that's truly amazing, something that you can never get back. And I mean, so you put off that goal of 500, but you're doing something really that's intentional right now and that you're shaping and molding his attitude towards money, towards entrepreneurship, towards his career. So I think that's on the grand scale of things. Okay, 500 units in 2 years. I'm good with that. But if you could do something that's impactful today for your family, I'd take that every day of the week.
And that's the blessing of where I am now. And that's where it all kind of, you know, that we talk about that struggle that I had after I sold the medical practice is because all the stuff, that was a goal. I wanted to reach a certain financial net worth by 50, and I got there by 48. But now, and I had, like I said, the counselor was like, you busted your ass to get here. Enjoy it. And she even said, what is your business partner doing? I'm like, well, he lives on the East Coast. He's laying out at the beach and going to barbecues and Phillies games. And what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in my house with my dogs and I'm paralyzed. And so it's nice to, have the capital, but more than anything, the time to do these things. And and that's my focus is, 500 units. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get that out of my head just the way I'm wired. But damn it, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And I want to do the things that I want to do when I want to do them now. Yes. And I'm sure that they'll be successful. And it's listening to the universe instead of telling the universe what to do, putting your head down and banging into it repeatedly. It's a really cool spot that I'm in now. And, you know, my wife and I were on vacation with the family, and it's one of those things like, okay, I'm 50. In 10 years, I may not be as physically healthy as I am. So this 10 years, we laid on the beach, and I'm like, I want to travel. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to do this with this son. I want to do this with my daughter. And so we put those things on paper, and that's what we're going to do, you know. And that's the kids on my deathbed aren't going to give a crap if I had 500 units.
Yes. Yes. So keep telling yourself that. That's important. Yeah. What I want to do, this is the last question, and this is an important one because you're an entrepreneur. You've started multiple businesses. For somebody listening to this and saying, I can't do multifamily, I'm going to tell you, if a pizza guy and a drug rep can do multifamily, if someone in the healthcare industry can get into multifamily, what are some of the things that the listener has to do right now to become serious about getting into the space?
you know, we always talk about that. Education is the biggest thing. I don't think somebody should listen to this with no background and go buy a 20 unit. No, that would be ridiculous. But, you know, the educational piece, you and I talked, I loved Wheelbarrow Profits, and I'm not saying that because I'm on your podcast. I've been on other podcasts, and I've said the same thing. I loved Wheelbarrow Profits because it allowed a physical therapist to read that book in a day, and it gave the recipe. You know, your Italian restaurant, it told us how to minimize our risk and how to evaluate deals and how to grow and everything. Again, from a medical standpoint, high blood pressure is 130 over 90. We have all these metrics that are set up based off of research and whatnot. And that was so refreshing to me, the educational piece that you presented from that book on, hey, this is how you do it. And here are the calculations. Here are the metrics. This is what you should expect. These are the norms. This is what you want to try to avoid. And so the education piece, number one, first and foremost, I would start with that and then just do it, damn it. Like, there are so many people that are paralyzed with fear, and, you know, that was part of my counseling too, is I almost felt bad that I had been successful and had this large, you know, ish cash out. Well, and it's still hard for me to say, but I deserved that, I guess, because I worked for 20 hours a day for that first year. Literally, I was sleeping 2 to 4 hours a day. And so just get out and do it. You know, that's the biggest burden. I've got buddies who I've bought your book for that have read it and are still sitting on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to bully them into doing that. But if you're interested, get the education, number one. And while you're getting that education, whether it's podcasts or books or seminars, be thinking how you can apply that to your city that you want to invest in, and just go do it. Mm-hmm. You'll figure it out. You've got the background with your education and, you know, like I said, with the Jake and Gino community. If we wanted to get involved in campgrounds, I know a guy in the community that I could call and do that. So just, you have to do it. Educate yourself and go, you know, like you said, pizza guy, a physical therapist and a drug rep can do it. Jared's a physician. We know he's smart. So the hell with him. But the three of us were able to do it.
I love that. Listen, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
You know, my email is Dane, DAYNE, at AspenRealtyCO.com. You can email me there with any questions or comments that you have, anything I can do to help anybody in the community or listening to the podcast. You know, I'm an open book. Like I said, I could talk about my failures all day. I don't like to talk about the successes, but if somebody wants to hear some of those, we can do that too. So
I love that. This is, to me, has been a refreshing podcast because, number one, you're in a flip working with your son, which is truly amazing to me. That's the dream of entrepreneurial dads, sharing time with their children. Number two, you're a physical therapist turned real estate turned multifamily entrepreneur. And for those of you out there that are still struggling, saying, I don't know if I can do it, now is not the right time. It's always the right time. I mean, Dane at one point saw that healthcare was not long-term sustainable to him. And he said, let me find another plan. But before I find another plan and go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars into investing in a deal, let me learn the business. I mean, how many years did he go to school to become a physical therapist? He didn't go to school for a year or two. He went to school for years. Give yourself some time. Invest in your education. Invest in yourself. Invest in your mindset. Invest in the network that you're going to need, because multifamily is a team sport. Once you do all that, then I give you license to go out and start investing into deals. That's when you start investing into deals. And then from there, the fun starts. But remember, it's always buy right, finance right, and manage right. Mr. Dane Conley, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it. And everyone, I will see you on the next Movers and Shakers. Take care, everyone.